The CU 2.0 Podcast. Welcome to the CU 2.0 Podcast. Very exciting topic today. This is your host, Robert McGarvey. Today we'll be talking with a gentleman in Maine who's trying to start a new credit union. He's called Scott Buddy. The credit union will be called Maine Harvest when and if it's chartered by the NCUA. It's a credit union that will lend to Maine farmers, very specific purpose. And that's because Mr. Buddy says that if you don't know your need, don't know how to fill it, you're not going to succeed as a new credit union. It's a brilliant insight. It's something that other people wanting to start new credit unions can also focus on. So a long and winding road to get from an idea to a new credit union with a charter. He's in the final lap. So listen up. Now for a word from our sponsor. Are you looking to recapture members, increase your margins, live your mission? QCash is what you want to know about. That's because QCash delivers a fully automated small dollar short-term credit solution that allows credit unions to meet members' short-term cash needs. Acuzo, it's dedicated to helping credit unions build financial stability and health for its members. Check out QCash at QCash.com. So how long have you been on this journey? I think we first talked, I think, 3 years ago, maybe.
Well, I've been in Maine for 5 years, since 2013, and that's what I've been doing in Maine. And really with a grant from a foundation, the John Merck Fund, which is a small foundation in Boston, to research the idea of a credit union focused on small-scale farm and food production. And that research lasted about a year, but the research was really focused, it was focused on the Northeast, basically New England, New York, New Jersey. And one of the conclusions of that research was that a regional approach was just a little too big, too complicated, too expensive. And so I was looking for a part of that region that was big enough to, you know, support creating that entity and that had particularly strong institutions interested in the idea. And Maine was really the obvious place within that region. And I had some ties to Maine. And
now, and Maine also, as we've talked about in the past, has a big interest in agriculture as a business, particularly small-scale agriculture.
Yeah, absolutely. And also in Maine, it really matters relative to the state's economy. I mean, there's a great local food scene in most of those states, right? But in most of those states, it also just doesn't matter relative to the other sectors of the economy. You know, in Massachusetts, New Jersey, all of them have strong local food scenes, but relative to the other sectors that drive their economies, it's just not as important as it is in Maine.
And what's interesting and unique about this credit union is you don't see it as another consumer credit union. From the beginning, this has been a business-to-business play. You want to make loans to farmers, essentially.
Right.
And no one else wants that business. As far as I could, my research told me no one's really saying, oh, no, wait, we want that. We want to make those loans. They don't want to.
Yeah, no, not really. And I think, you know, if you look back a generation or two, most of this lending, you know, let's say to the small family farm or small local food business, that was done by community banks. If it was done, it was done by community banks, really. Or possibly the farm credit system. Farm credit's been around for a while, and farm credit does certainly do some of that lending. But, you know, the community banking system is much, much smaller than it used to be, and it is more focused on other types of lending. And the farm credit system is, you know, like American agriculture, it's gravitated toward larger industrial scale kind of operations. So that has left this hole, which is kind of the whole point of the business model, is to fill it.
In New England, many small dairy farms go out of business because there's no child who wants to take on the business and no one else wants to buy it. And the farm itself is turned into upscale housing in many cases.
Right.
What are your next steps? You have the amount of money you said you needed to get this going. And last we talked, you had expected to take the next big step forward in the spring of this year.
And yeah, we were a little off on that.
Well, you're doing fine, really. I mean, you're making progress as far as I can tell. And so what happens now?
Well, fundraising took longer than we thought it would, but it's done. And I think the next big steps, and this is the next 9 months, are really regulatory steps. So we've submitted this. We have two regulatory applications, one federal and one state. The federal one is the more extensive one and the one we need to do first. And that one is in. I mean, it's done. You know, it's 910 pages or something crazy. And so it'll be waiting for them to review it. And they've seen parts of it, many parts of it. They've seen a draft of the business plan. But now they've got it all together. And very importantly, they've gotten it, all the money is lined up and documented. Because if you base a business plan on starting with a certain amount of equity and you're giving that plan to the regulator, they want to see that you're going to have, that's one of their most important questions is, how do we know you're going to have that money to start? And that aspect is, all sewn up. So we probably have about, our guess is 9 months from October 1. So this would bring us, into June or so of next year of that regulatory review. And then we're, rapidly in the process of starting and signing contracts with vendors and opening our doors and all that kind of stuff.
Now, the last chunk of money, according to the press reports, came from the Maine Credit Union League.
Yep, that's right.
How many donors did you have along the way?
Oh, that is a good question. About 15.
So pretty small.
It is pretty small. And the reason is just because there's a lot of documentation around those donations, because the regulators are very concerned about where the money's coming from. Right? I mean, they want to know, well, exactly where the money's coming from. And you need a lot of money. So it's not the kind of thing you can do very easily with like Kickstarter or crowdfunding, because that's kind of led to needing to target larger donors, which means high net worth individuals, foundations. Foundations are more than half of that amount. We have a little bit of government grant money, a little bit of business, kind of business sponsorship from businesses that want to see this entity up and running. But more than half is foundation grants.
Now, your plan when we last talked was to essentially outsource all of the back office to Synergent, a subsidiary of the league. That's still your plan?
It sure is, yeah.
Well, that eliminates a lot of headache for you.
Yeah, most credit unions would outsource core processing, but I think what it does, Maine is a very tight-knit, probably got into this last time, Maine is a very tight-knit credit union industry. Most of those credit unions use the same software, which is Ephesus, being run by Synergent. The vast majority of Maine credit unions are in co-op shared branching, and the vast majority are also using a shared ATM network, which is run by Synergent. It's a lot more than just outsourcing our you know, outsourcing our IT. I mean, as most small credit unions would never like write their own software, right? Or, but they, so it, you know, part of that is pretty similar, but it's much more extensive relationship, I think.
Now, you're essentially, and this fascinates me, you're outsourcing the entire back end of a credit union. And what's intriguing to me is there's no person on the planet who calls up a credit union saying, I want to open an account. Before I do, tell me who your core processor is. And no one's ever done that.
No one ever will
do that. And who processes your checks? No one cares. Credit unions obsess about this stuff, but my view of keeping small credit unions alive is outsourcing all of that to a third party. And in Maine, that third party exists. It's a beautiful system.
Right. Well, when we say outsourcing everything, I mean, if we were a mainstream, some of it is we've just eliminated a number of functions. I mean, so, you know, we don't even need to outsource cash. So we look at it as we have outsourced cash handling, right? Because we're just not going to do it because we're going to be in these ATM and shared branching networks so that we don't have to do it. So we look at it as outsourcing, but we've also just sort of eliminated the function. I mean, if, you know, I don't know how we would even do it if we, you know, if we had to.
Are you going to offer what amounts to business checking?
No, we're not.
Okay, no checking at all. Okay.
Yeah, no checking at all. We're not trying to replace anyone's primary financial relationship. And, you know, when we talk to farmers and food producers, as well as people who might come to us wanting a mission-oriented deposit, there was no need. I mean, people were pretty happy. And I have to say, in my experience, people were much happier in Maine with their primary financial institution than they are in other parts of the country. Maine is different. We have Bank of America. We have TD. We've got U.S. Bank Corp. And we've got, but in terms of their market share, it's much lower. And if you were to go through the top, you know, 10 financial institutions in America, we don't have any of most of them, right? So that's completely different.
Now, have you run into questions about loan concentration? Since your scenario involves a pretty significant level of concentration as Maine agriculture.
Sure.
And you see with the taxi medallion credit unions in greater New York, these are
thank you for bringing that up for the analogy.
These are some monstrously big institutions in some cases that are now bust. They've been shut down by NCUA.
And
the issue, I believe, is concentration of loans. They put all their eggs into a basket that started to shrink. And so have you run into any friction about concentration?
Well, we have. I mean, it's certainly top of the mind of the regulator. And even within the context of very few new credit unions being created every year, there are none that I'm aware of that are created under this special, you know, and given the medallion experience, I think they'll be particularly concerned about it. Now, so, I mean, the things that we could do, you know, to mitigate that, one is we are starting with a fairly high level of capital. This is much more capital. It was a bit hard to research, but we think it's more capital than anyone has started within the last 10 years or so. We were able to check with one credit union last year, and they had started with a bit over $1 million. So that's one of the things that's driving that $2.4 million is pretty high for starting a new credit union, and that's one of the things that's driving it. So we want a pretty large capital cushion, that's one thing. And another is looking at other techniques for managing risk. loan participation. It's one, a servicing portfolios, like creating a portfolio of loans and selling it to a foundation, but continuing to service it would be another. And loan guarantees would be a third one. There are a number of programs. There are federal programs within the USDA, and there are state programs in Maine through an organization called FAME, which is the Finance Authority of Maine, that allow the state entity to basically guarantee up to, I think it's either 80 or 90% of loan principal. So we're going to look very closely at those programs to, you know, try and manage risk. And I think one of the conclusions of the medallion lending problems is you want to be really careful about when your lending rests on one legal or regulatory, I don't know, framework or assumption. And, you know, you just want to, I mean, I won't know all of those assumptions going out into the future, but that's, you know, there are certainly trends that we want to look at on small scale ag, like, you know, whatever we want to be aware of, whatever's coming out of USDA regs, for example. But I think the biggest ones on controlling risk are that extra capital, loan guarantees, participation, and possible loan sales.
I think you also were talking about, and I don't know if this would persuade NCUA, but it persuades me that you would bring a high level of thought and analysis into who the borrowers were, which didn't really play into the taxi medallion loans. The loan was issued on the basis of the medallion.
Right. You have the medallion. That's the source of the income. Here's the loan.
You told me you're going to bring real expertise into people and agriculture in Maine in deciding, well, no, you are not going to make money running a kelp farm. You've never been a farmer.
Right. So. Well, yeah. No, I mean, hopefully we're absolutely have in the plan that, you know, we're specialized around certain types of lending that we want to understand well, which, you know, is part of the model is, you know, hopefully I'm going to be running the institution is I don't want to be distracted by many other aspects of running credit unions, particularly when there are 55 other great credit unions in Maine that do these things pretty well. So I don't want to be distracted by handling cash, keeping the ATM network up and running. We want to be focused on the areas, you know, where we have expertise and continue to develop it.
Well, I think if you go back historically, many credit unions and savings and loans were in the mortgage business and the savings account business. And the savings account gave them the money they lent out in mortgages. They didn't do things like checking. It was a nice simple business, and then it wasn't anymore. Real estate, now you have the backing of, according to my research, the entire Maine congressional delegation. All of them.
We did. All four of them.
Yes.
Which, with very little research, you can confirm that is basically the American political spectrum, right? It's pretty close.
Yeah, no. Angus King is quite different from Susan Collins. I know that much because both of them are on TV a lot.
The two representatives are quite different. I mean, one is Shelley Pringree is a progressive organic farming Democrat, and Bruce Poliquin is a Republican conservative businessman, you know, from the second district in Maine, which is, you know, northern and eastern Maine. So that's the full spectrum.
Now, when do you expect to open for business?
Well, that would be mid-2019 then, if we're on. And, you know, the timetable I gave you was the timetable that the regulators thought would be reasonable. And, you know, I should mention this is related to the timetable, but also this question about risk is, you know, when you open a new credit union, and you get your charter and deposit insurance, and you have all of those things. The regulators usually also give you a letter that basically says, you know, we've given you this charter and deposit insurance, but we want you to be to operate under certain restrictions for a few years. Basically, they're one person referred to it to me as training wheels, right? They don't give you the keys to the kingdom just all in one fell swoop. You're up, running, you get your policies in order, you start making loans, you start bringing in deposits, but maybe you have limits. You might have a limit on the size of the largest loan, or you know, maybe you have some added concentration limits or something like that. So we like, I mean, most, I think every new credit union has this, so I, you know, we will have it as well. Yeah, I think the biggest reason for, apart from the Internet Archive credit union in New Jersey, the ones that I know that haven't made it, I think the number one issue, well, the number one issue with all of them is, are they needed, right? The world doesn't just need more small, multi-purpose credit unions in most places. But in other areas, I think that's the big question, is there really a need? And when I talk to credit CEOs of mission-oriented community, well, CDFI credit unions, if you know that, community development financial institutions, they all said that their number one concern across the board was, are you going to be able to find enough underwritable loan demand in your field of membership to get big enough to make enough money to stay in business? And I think that's still, 4 or 5 years later, that is still completely true. Because I think if we were a multi-purpose credit union, just doing the same stuff that everybody else does, I have no idea how we would reach the scale that we would need to reach just to you know, keep the lights on and pay all our expenses.
One reason I've talked to you these many times is I'm fascinated by your business model, because it seems to me it will probably work. I mean, many people starting credit unions are idealistic. Well, it's wonderful to be idealistic, but their plans might not be workable. What you want to do is make loans to a finite market that no one else wants to make loans to, mainly because the loans are too small. It's not because they're bad quality. And you won't have to spend a dime on marketing. Word will spread. I mean, you'll have people knocking on your door the second day you're open, looking for loans.
No, I think we will. One state regulator with a lot of experience said he thought that our problem could be that we might have more loan demand than we could meet.
Oh, you will. You'll get to be pickier about the loans that you issue, which will be
a
thing.
And you know, somewhere, I don't know the exact story of how this happened, but somewhere along the way, what was, you know, just ag lending being part of general lending became a specialized activity. And it went from just being part of what your average community bank loan officer did, just something that only an ag lender would do. It was that point when that sector of small family farms and food businesses got, you know, sort of segregated, that the lending became more difficult, because it was both the problem of size that you mentioned. It wasn't large enough for, you know, Bank of America's ag team to focus on them, and Bank of America will do ag lending if you need a loan for, you know, 10,000 acres of soybeans or something, but it wasn't big enough for that. But it wasn't too specialized now. You needed an ag lender, and that community bank doesn't do ag lending. I mean, that's what I think your average community bank in America would say, but your average community bank in the Northeast would probably just say, I don't do ag lending because we don't have a specialist to do it.
No, I don't think you have any competition. There's not a line of people who want to lend money to blueberry farmers.
One of the places that we look for whether these sectors are taking off is there an active state trade association? And there absolutely is. And it's interesting, there is in, for Maine, there is in cheese, grain, fishing, lobstering, certainly. And there is a state aquaculture association. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the most important one, craft brewing and distilling. They're also.
Are you going to make loans in craft brewing?
We could, yeah. Craft brewing, if it gets to scale, will rapidly be beyond what we would be able to do in terms of lending. But there, you know, there are lots of business models around craft brewing and distilling that are not, where the goal of the owners is not to get to scale. I mean, they don't all want to be Shipyard and Allagash, for example. I mean, their goal may only be, a smaller volume with, local distribution. And in that case, we might be a very good lender.
How many employees do you envision having when you open?
Four.
Whoa.
I don't know if they're all there on day one, but four.
And what would the jobs be?
President, CEO, head of lending, assistant loan officer, and operations and finance. So we don't have tellers.
Right. No head teller.
Yeah, there are no tellers. There's no customer service. The operations finance person would have some operating responsibilities, but they're pretty low. I mean, I think we have many days. Well, on the deposit side, we're expecting only two types of deposits, savings and CDs. And on the CDs, we're not expecting any CDs only of 5 and 10 year CDs. So I'm hoping there are many, many days when we have no transactions at all. Zero.
And you will not have a security guy either. I'm talking about a retired
security
officer.
Security.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, no.
No, this is
more
it's
of a big sign that says no cash handled here.
Right. No, it's a remarkable business model, and I love opening with four people on staff, including the CEO. Now, and you have essentially no active opposition to your being, right?
I haven't found any. We've met with community bank heads. The larger community banks in Maine, this is not business that they seek. And remember, in Maine, if you're talking about this sort of new, what we kind of call the new food economy, it's very active, but it's also, very spread out in a rural state. So, even the larger community banks, they see a lot happening, but it still may not be a sector that's large enough for them to want to tap. So we haven't seen it there.
This is an endurance race that you're running.
It really is. That's a very good way to put it. It really is, and I am very ready to move on to the next level, I can assure you.
Well, there are a lot of farmers and would-be farmers in Maine who are hoping that you move on to that next level, too.
Yeah, I think so.
And Maine, as I recall in my original research, Maine can really use this small-scale farming. A lot of states don't care about it, but Maine cares about it and is well-suited to Maine.
Absolutely, and I think the fact that that letter is signed by everybody in the delegation is exactly representative of that.
Before we go, the CU 2.0 podcast is looking for a few good sponsors to help us spread the word about the digital transformation of credit unions. You could be one of them. Contact Robert McGarvey for details at rjmcgarvey@gmail.com. First come, first served. Again, that's rjmcgarvey@gmail.com. The CU 2.0 podcast.